انت بتسمع تسعينات اف ام، اجمل ذكريات.
Hello and welcome. I'm your host Farah and this is my show Music with Farah on 90s FM. Before we start, if you want to drop us a comment or suggest a song, drop us a call on +21 000 427 894. So we're going to kick off tonight's show with one of the most iconic bands in the mid-2000s. It's Panic at the Disco. Panic at the Disco was a band that started with four members in high school, and they mostly found their connection and community through being in school. They wanted to become a band, and Ryan Ross, the main composer and creative behind the band, loved a popular emo band at the time, which was called Fall Out Boy. Ross eventually got the contact for Fall Out Boy bass player Pete Wentz, and as if it was fate, Fall Out Boy at the time had created their own recording company and ended up signing Panic at the Disco as their first new artist. Do note that these high school students only had a demo of the one album, and although some critics were not fans, which we will dive into later, the album became so popular it's now considered one of the biggest cult classics of the band's career. The reason the band was so popular was because the discography of the band was so different when it comes to each era. They moved into a lot of genres, a lot of musical themes and stories, which they built up this huge legacy. However, that can come with a price, and at some point, the band felt like it was end of an era. Before we get into the whole story, let's start at the beginning with their debut album, A Fever You Can't Sweat Out. A Fever You Can't Sweat Out was released on September 27th, 2005. The members on this album were Ryan Ross as a main composer and background vocals, Brendan Urey on lead vocals, Spencer Smith on drums, and Brent Wilson on bass. The best way to explain this album because of how sonically complicated it is to essentially think of it as a play. We have Act 1, our intermission, and then we end with Act 2. Although this album now is considered a cult classic, at the time of its release, critics had mixed or negative reactions, calling it cheesy, pretentious, and because of the split of genres, the first half being electronic and the second half being Baroque, it was seen as inconsistent or way too experimental for its time. However, this album is literally considered one of their strongest albums and has a huge loyal fan base from the time of its release until today. Now, let's jump into A Fever You Can't Sweat Out. Act 1 is a lot more on the emo punk rock side, and the focus in the first half of the album has a lot of guitars. The drums are loud and in your face, and it's just very chaotic with that strong, almost punk-like feeling. And with that, we're kicking things off with the introduction. This track is immersing you into their world. The lights are off in a theater, and you're ready for the show.
Смерть поддало еще широким отглотом.
Ladies and gentlemen, we proudly present a picturesque score of Passing Fences.
Next up is The Only Difference Between Martyrdom and Suicide is Press Coverage, or the first track of our Act 1. The track still follows that chaotic pop-punk energy of the emo scene in the mid-2000s. It's got a lot of guitars and the drums are taking the main focus in the bridge before the chorus section. In the song, you can feel the desperation in the lyrics. It's like the band is literally talking to you, telling you to open up and start listening to them.
Sit tight, I'm gonna need you to keep time. Come on, just snap, snap, snap your fingers for me. Good, good, now we're making some progress. Come on, just tap, tap, tap your toes to the beat. And I believe this may call for a proper introduction. Well, don't you see? I'm the narrator and this is just a prologue. Swear to shake it up if you swear to listen. We're still so young, desperate for attention. I aim to be your eyes.
audience, I've an announcement to make. It seems the artists these days are not who you think, so we'll pick back up on that on another page. And I believe this may call for a proper introduction, and well, don't you see?
Now, let's take a closer listen to another track that's considered part of Act 1. A very beloved fan track of this album is Time to Dance. It's one of the more faster tracks of this album, and it gives off that strong pop punk and pop rock all in one. Especially in the refrain with the distorted thrashy guitars and the loud drums echoing through Yuri's vocals. Now, a cool part in this track is in the bridge where Brendan says, "When I say shotgun, you say wedding." This has been a fun inside joke where fans do a call and response, as Yuri yells shotgun and the crowd says wedding. So if you're listening in, make sure to say wedding during the bridge. Overall, this first couple of tracks, which we consider as Act 1, still follows a very rock and punk sound with loud thrashy guitars, echoey vocals, and loud drums.
For the
Now we come into the intermission. The lights are on and you get a break. But in the background, you hear an old-timey rack-tack sound, and you start to hear voices in the background. Here we know the album's genre is about to shift.
Circumstances beyond our control, we are unable to continue our broadcast of dance music. We shall continue now with our piano interlude.
Into the dark theatrics and Baroque pop music, we enter into Act 2. Now, before we jump into Act 2 and Baroque pop, this music genre is essentially moving away from the standard instruments, but now we're adding classical instrumentation, like a string quartet, flute, and a French horn. You'll hear a lot of orchestral arrangements. It's going to sound lush and grand, and there's going to be a lot of dramatics. There's a lot of melodic lines playing rather than simple chords, so you'll also hear more of a layered style, which sounds more complicated. And another big element of the switch into Act 2 is that Baroque pop has more of a melancholy mood, being very dramatic and theatrical. So keep that in mind, folks. Now into Act 2 we go. We are hitting the ground running. There is a lot more dark theatrics and Baroque sounds with this next track called I Write Sins, Not Tragedies. This is one of their most famous and cult classic tracks from the entire album and even the band itself. So many people have heard of this song because of its kooky theatrical lyrics or because the theater-inspired visuals pull you in. The song has that Baroque-inspired sound with more brass, strings, and a bit of emo pop punk and rock, but that takes more of a backseat in this track and mostly appears during the chorus.
Imagine as I'm pacing the pews in a church corridor, and I can't help but to hear. No, I can't help but to hear an exchanging of words. What a beautiful wedding! What a beautiful wedding! Says a bridesmaid to a waiter.
Yes,
but what a shame! What a shame! The poor groom's bride is all. I chime in with the haven't you people. With a sense of poison rationality,
I shine in. Haven't you people ever heard? fact. We'll all look at it this way. I mean, technically, our marriage is saved. Well, this calls for a toast, so pour the champagne.
Oh, well, in fact,
we'll all look at it this way. I mean, technically, our marriage is saved. Well, this calls for a toast, so pour the champagne, pour the
Now, A Fever You Can't Sweat Out became the final album where Brent Wilson was in it, as he was dropped in 2006 by the band. They both have different notes of why he was dropped, but Brent said that it was unfair and he was dropped without notice, while the band said he wasn't contributing or moving fast enough when it came to playing his instruments. And Brent got replaced by John Walker. Now, the second album that Panic at the Disco released was called Pretty Odd. The album was written by Ryan Ross, and it had members Brendan Urie on vocals, John Walker on bass, and Spencer Smith on drums. The album was released on March 25th, 2008. And the album took a huge genre shift from their debut album. This album was mostly 60s inspired due to the psychedelic rock and pop influence of the album. Think of really trippy sound effects and the Beatles in the 60s. The album also continues a mix of Baroque pop due to the strings and brass instruments being mostly used in the album, but the album itself was much softer than their debut, and all the tracks were much more simpler and cohesive. It was also really loved by most fans and critics more than their debut, although some critics were split. Some felt that it was too boring from their debut. This album was also when Ryan Ross took creative lead and wanted to go more into the psychedelic genre. The album was inspired by the likes of the Beach Boys and their kind of sun, happy, fun aesthetic, as well as the Beatles, and they even got compared to the Kinks, which even visually with the concept kind of matches the band. The most generally liked and popular track is 9 in the Afternoon, which is considered the more Baroque pop style song as it features brass, piano, and strings, swapping it out for the synths. The song feels very old school and even has that nostalgic feeling to it.
Back to the street where we began. Good as lovers can, you know. Yeah, we're feeling so good, picking up things we shouldn't read. It looks like the end of history, as we know. It's just the end of the world. Back to the street where we began, feeling as good as love you could, you can. Into a place where thoughts can bloom, into a room where it's not in the afternoon. Cause it's not in the afternoon, and your eyes are the size of the moon.
think, and so you do. We're feeling so good, just the way that we do when it's 9 in the afternoon. Your eyes are the size of the moon. You cook as you can, so you do. We're feeling so good. Back to the street, down to our feet, losing the feeling of feeling unique. Do you know what I mean? Back to the place where we used to stay. Man, it feels good to feel this way. Now I know what I mean. Back to the street, back to the place, back to the room where it all began. Back to the room where it all began. 'Cause it's night in the air. We're feeling so good, just the way that we do when it's 9 in the afternoon.
Our next track is actually something that recently blew up on social media called She Had the World. The song actually has a lot of somber lyrics, but the star of the song is an instrument called the harpsichord, which was a staple of the Baroque period. This track on Pretty Odd is one of the strongest examples of Baroque pop.
Hold me, spun the stars on her fingernails, but it never made her happy, 'cause she couldn't ever have me. She said she'd want the world at a carnival, but she could never win me, 'cause she couldn't ever catch me.
I don't love you, I'm just passing the time. You could love me if I knew how to lie, but who could love me? I am out of my mind, throwing a line out to see if I can catch a dream. That girl had so much love. She'd wanna kiss you all the time. Yeah, she'd wanna kiss you all the time. She said she'd want the world at a carnival, but I'm sure I didn't ruin her, just made her more interesting. I'm sure I didn't ruin her, just made her more interesting.
When I look in her eyes, I just see the sky. When I look in her eyes, well, I just see the sky.
I don't love you, I'm just passing the time. You could love me if I knew how to lie. But who could love me? I am out of my mind. Throwing a line out to see if I can catch a dream.
She Had the World, the track felt as if it was their goodbye. This is the album where the band actually split. After the split, the band would have two eras, known as pre-panic, which is a fever you can't sweat out, and post-panic, which is everything after Pretty Odd and Yuri becoming the frontman of Panic at the Disco. The band split because of creative differences in their musical direction. Ross and Walker wanted to stay with this psychedelic and baroque style of music, which they ended up doing, and they created a band called The Young Veins. While Yuri and Smith wanted to go back to their debut style of this dark theatrics and baroque-inspired pop. That led us to our album, Vices and Virtues. This was the first project Panic did without former members Ryan Ross and John Walker. The album was released on March 22nd, 2011. This era forward known as post-panic. The duo returned to the more dark theatrical debut album and baroque aesthetic. However, the album had a bit more pop rock and was very much a more polished structured sound. The biggest track I think that takes from this baroque sound is Nearly Witches, Ever Since We Met. It starts off with an old-timey ragtime piano, a lot of plucky strings, especially in the opening. Then, as you hit the chorus of the song, that's how you get that structured pop rock element with the electric guitars and percussive background.
Kids, you have to remember, I'm up here conducting you for a reason. Okay, watch me. Watch my fingers. Here we go. Ready? Watch me.
Dès le premier jour, ton parfum enivra mon amour. Et dans ces instants, j'aimerais être comme toi par moment. Mais depuis ce jour, je n'ai qu'un seul et unique regret.
Across naive wood floors, they creak innocently down the stairs. Drag melody, my percussive feet serve cobweb headaches as a matching set of marching clocks. The slumbering apparitions that they've come to wake up. Silent. Ever since we met, I only shoot up with your perfume. It's the only thing that makes me feel as good as you do. Ever since we met, I've got just one regret to live through. And that one regret is you.
Diving into the pop-rockish genre again, this next track is what kickstarted my entire journey with Panic at the Disco. This track is called Let's Kill Tonight. This is a very pop-rock song, and I think that this was also the track that would even further hint to the future of Panic at the Disco's albums. The track almost feels like it was teasing the next album's sound style, which was Too Weird to Live, Too Weird to Die. The song has this dark theatrics of their debut album, especially with the way the electric guitar feels. It's like it's played on a downward scale, giving it a more eerie note. But the chorus of the track, like Nearly Witches, is a very neat pop rock structure with a little bit of synth mixed in with percussive elements.
Your feet serve you well.
Our next track, Mona Lisa, is visually super theatrical and dark, and it feels somewhat nostalgic. It even follows their debut album song, Sonically, as we're drawn back to that pop rock we listened to with a fever you can't sweat out. Overall, this song is a very gothic drama in the best way to end on this lovely album. To our next album, released on October 8th, 2013, it's Too Weird to Live, Too Rare to Die. The album had two big changes before we dive in. Drummer Spencer Smith left Panic at the Disco around this time for personal reasons. However, the band gained one new member, Dallin Weeks, who officially joined on as the bassist for Panic at the Disco. He also had some contributions to this album as well. To start off, the album is very synth and electronic heavy. It's very 80s, so think Depeche Mode sonically. The album is also very beloved between fans, and it's one of their more loved post-Panic projects. It's also very dark and broody, as we get a bigger reflection on Yuri's personal life and his upbringing as a Mormon in Las Vegas. The album showed everything, the good, the bad, the ugly of his upbringing, his teenagehood, and his messiness as a person, as well as one of the most beautiful tracks in my opinion, which is an ode to LA, Vegas Lights. Although I'll keep Vegas Lights to save for the best of the last. I'm going to kick off To Where to Live, To Where to Die with one of the most synth-heavy bass songs. It's also one of my favorite songs from the band. It's none other than the most dramatic and intense track in the entire album. The name itself describes the setting of the song. We're listening to someone who wants to have an affair, but also understands the repercussions. At the same time, the main character doesn't care. The reason I picked the track was because this song borderlines between the broody 80s electronic synth, but it also has an electronic rock section that happens towards the end of the song with a mighty electric guitar solo. Even more, the song has a twinge of the Baroque style with the dramatic violins carrying the scene of an affair. The song has a mix of their debut style being more dark and gritty and baroque with the strings, and then a more new sound with the rock they're creating. This is none other than Casual Affair.
Looks innocent enough, doesn't it? But sometimes there are dangers involved that never meet the eye. No matter where you meet a stranger, be careful if they are too friendly.
Now, I'll end this beautiful album with Vegas Lights. The song feels so alive and real. It gives you the feeling of being late at night, specifically late nights in Las Vegas. It's such a bright and easy song. However, Yuri's vocals also give that auto-tuned synthy aesthetic that we've been closely following in this album. Also, in the intro, they take it from a Sesame Street sound, Pinball Number Count from Sesame Street, which I think adds to that theatricality and whimsiness. And then we get hit with a bright synth pop beat. Here is Vegas Lights.
One, two, three, four.
Now, with the last album we'll talk about, this is Death of a Bachelor, which was released on January 15th, 2016. This marked the first album of Brendon Urie going absolutely solo. No official members from any other album joined this album's creation. And Urie was the solo one-man guy who played almost every instrument during the recording process. The album is also a very jazzy, Sinatra-inspired album. There are also elements of pop and rock in there too. The first track we'll discuss is Death of a Bachelor. This is one of the more famous songs out of this album. It's a very strong jazz-inspired song. Lots of brass and even the visuals of the song are in black and white, as Urie sings in a suit on an old microphone. The most iconic part of the song is Urie's high note, especially in that creep in that pre-chorus part of the song. This is Death of a Bachelor.
Do I look lonely? I see the shadows on my face. People have told me
the same. Maybe I lost weight. I'm playing hooky with the best of the best. Put my heart on my chest so that you can see it too. I'm walking the long road, watching the sky fall. The lace in your dress tangles my neck. How do I live the death of a bachelor? Oh, oh, letting the water fall. The death of a bachelor. Oh, oh, seems so fitting for happily ever after. Ooh, how could I ask for more? Lifetime of laughter at the expense of the death of a bachelor. Like my heart is going to burst. Alone at a table for two, and I just wanna be served. And when you think of me, am I the best you've ever had? Share one more drink with me. Smile even though you're sad.
To close off the story of Panic at the Disco, I want to play our last track, which is called Crazy Equals Genius. This track is one of the more high-paced songs of the album. It has a mix of pop rock, but the track introduces a jazz element that matches the Sinatra-esque style. But there's also a ton of swing. Swing was a specific type of jazz music that emerged during the 1920s. The song is electric and loud as Brendan's high vocals slam onto the track, and you have a brass section, energetic drums as they swing you around the song. Panic at the Disco cemented its legacy as a group that constantly changed sounds, but still had their own roots and formula. Although the band's creation dissolved early on, the band has become one of the legendary and more classical symbols of its time and different eras. I've been your host, Farah, with my show, Music with Farah, and I'll see you same time, same place. Thank you for tuning in, and enjoy the music.
You can set yourself on fire. You can set yourself on fire.
She said at night in my dreams, you dance on a tightrope of weird. Oh, but when I wake up, you're so normal that you just disappear. You're so straight like commuters with briefcases towing the line. There's no residue of a torturer inside of your eyes. She said you're just like Mike, love, but you wanna be Brian Wilson. Brian Wilson said you're just like Mike, love, but you'll never be Brian Wilson. And I said,
set yourself.
sticks on my tongue. But you don't seem to change when you stuff all of your feelings with drugs. All the boys you may have dated serrated your heart with a slice, but the cut of your love never hurts, baby, it's a sweet butter knife. She said you're just like Mike, love, but you wanna be Brian Wilson. Brian Wilson said you're just like Mike, love, but you'll never be Dennis Wilson. And I said, hey, hey, crazy equals genius.